Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Good morning. Are you all right? Oh, nice, lovely cup of tea, fresh from the kettle. First thing in the morning, nothing like it. I hope you are all right. Me? Yeah. All good, thanks. Like every morning, I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good, good. And you are? Glorious band, The Chosen Few. My band of brothers and sisters, I pray thee wish not one man more. Okay, should we just get into it? Oh, tell you the time and the day. It is 8 a.m, which is summertime. It's now Wednesday, isn't it? Wednesday the 22nd of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. How time marches on. Okay, let's stop faffing about, shall we? We'll talk about what the legacy corporate mainstream media's banging on about today. What's in the news cycle today? Iran and Starmer. Still Starmer stuff. Because we had that Sir Ollie Robbins give his testimony to the Select Committee yesterday. And we've got PMQs, Prime Minister's Questions, later today as well. That should be interesting. All right, should we get into it? What is that cabal of evil editors trying to say is or isn't important? What are they lying to you about by omission? Still don't really talk about Ireland. Everything that's going on in Ireland. You didn't know. If you only got your news from the papers or the legacy corporate mainstream media, you'd barely know there's all sorts of stuff going down in Ireland about petrol protests. They're very, very rarely mentioning Epsom. There was a thing in the Sun yesterday, one thing. You have to scroll down a fair bit in the Sun, front and centre. Okay. The papers, Fleet Street, what are they talking about? We've got Starmer on the ropes. And Sobbing Robbins spills the beans. Don't know why they call him Sobbing Robbins. Bit of a lame thing. Harry, can you bring that thing up on the side? There you go. Sobbing Robbins. I'm not a fan of that Ollie Robbins. He was like a massive Ramona, right? He helped Theresa May sort of not get Brexit done for 2 years or whatever. He's a classic sort of Whitehall Mandarin. He and people like him are a big part of the problem. The reason why this country is in such a terrible state it is. However, on this particularly, i.e. the Mandelson vetting, or the lack thereof, he doesn't seem to have done anything particularly wrong. So let's get into the bit of the details. What he said yesterday, he did give us, remember yesterday I said, I wonder if he'll just play it completely safe and not really give us anything new and just say he and the government haven't really done anything wrong, or he might give us something a bit more spicy, a bit new details. Well, he did do that. We did get that. He fired back at the government, basically, giving us a number of new data points. All right, the Times, let's get into it. Oh, if you didn't know, if you're foreign, perhaps, or maybe you're very young, a Zoomer or something, you might not know that the palace, the royals, they like to celebrate people that reach 100 years old. It's fair enough, isn't it? You used to get a telegram from the Queen. I guess you get one from the King now. If you reach 100, the palace recognises you. In fact, so David Attenborough is due to reach the grand old age of 100 early next month, I believe. National Treasure. They throw that around a bit too much now, don't they, these days? National Treasure. But I think David Attenborough truly is. It's difficult to dislike David Attenborough. Although one or two of his politics is odd. But anyway, let's not talk about David Attenborough. He's in the news, by the way. I'm not just picking him out at random. Okay, so Trump and Starmer. So should we talk about the Trump and Starmer thing first? I mean, the headline here says, Trump extends ceasefire with Iran after collapse of peace talks. I think our poll is something based around that. Whether Trump's blinked or not. But let's talk about Starmer first, and then we'll talk about America and Trump and Iran and all that sort of thing. Starmer on ropes over Mandelson vetting fiasco. Cabinet allies turn on Prime Minister after new allegations that he bullied officials. Peers pressure. PM reeling as Sobbing Robbins spills beans. Where'd they get that? Sobbing Robbins. Ridiculous. The Metro. Gross. Ugh. Ugh. Steenkamp one, gross. The Metro, revolting. Peers pressure. It's actually more than one. There's another guy, this guy here, might not recognise his face. Matt Doyle, now the Lord Doyle. He was like a press secretary or head of communications or something for Keir Starmer. He also had to leave in disgrace because he was found to be friends with a convicted paedophile. Not Jeffrey Epstein, a completely different one. One of the things that Sir Ollie told us yesterday was that Number 10 tried to get him, Matthew Doyle, or some sort of cushy job in the Foreign Office as well. Tried to just force that through. Okay. The Telegraph. Labour MPs vent fury at toxic Number 10. Cabinet backlash. Civil servant claims... He was forced to approve Mandelson's US role. I mean, it was already done by the time Ollie Robbins came into the FO, into the Foreign Office. That's the way it works in the civil service, often, not always, but very, very often, especially if you're quite senior. They'll move you around all over the place. You've got a job for life, unless you get disgraced and fired. You've got a job for life. They move you around all the departments. Like, for a few years, you'll work at the Home Office. For a few years, you'll work at education, a few years at health. If you're lucky, you get to work in the Cabinet Office or the Foreign Office. So Ollie Robbins has been all over the place. He was at the Home Office for years. He's worked in a number of different things. And so anyway, he's only worked at the Foreign Office for a relatively short amount of time. In fact, he started there a few days after Mandelson was announced, I believe. Or maybe it was a few days before. Basically, he wasn't involved in the original vetting and things at all. He wasn't even working there at that point. How he's responsible, so responsible enough for it that he needs to be fired, I'm not entirely sure. Okay. Well, the angle that the cabinet are now turning on Starmer, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's get through a few more of the headlines and then we'll talk about it in some detail. All right, the Mail, trying to pretend it isn't complete slop when it is. Starmer's support starts to crack as a sacked civil servant plunges the knife into reeling PM. And Labour MPs call on the Cabinet to act. Ed Miliband and Yvette Cooper are first to show dissent. Yeah, also David Lammy has voiced a couple of opinions, which is funny because I have distinctly remember, definitely remember, have seen a clip all not that long ago, of David Lammy crowing about how brilliant it was that Mandelson was ambassador to the US now. Because David Lammy was Foreign Secretary at the time. How more of this hasn't spilled out over him, I don't know. There's a clip of him standing in the main lobby in Parliament just saying, it's so great, Mandelson's the right man for the job, it's brilliant, he's one of the greatest politicians of our age. It's brilliant that we've done this. But now he's going, oh, I always thought it would blow up. I always thought this thing would blow up. Did you? Ed Miliband and Yvette Cooper. Yvette Cooper now, she's the Foreign Secretary at the moment, isn't she? Well, quick thing to say about the cabinet thing, Starmer's position. What it is, when the government comes out and says anything, really, the whole idea, not always, of course, the whole idea is that at least, at the very least, everyone that's in cabinet all say the same thing. Now, very often it's not the case, and whenever it's not the case, the chattering classes, the media, will always point it out. Say, ooh, there's cracks in the government. Ooh, they're not all singing from the same hymn sheet. There's cracks, there's power struggles. But in the normal course of events, it should be the case that everyone in cabinet have got, they're all perfectly in line. They all know the policy exactly, and they all repeat it basically exactly. That's the whole point of cabinet, sort of a collective responsibility. So they're all supposed to have the exact same sort of level of responsibility for policy. So, if the government, Keir Starmer, it's funny when they say this, isn't it? Like a judge says, the court thinks this or that. You mean just you, the judge? You refer to yourself as the court. Okay, it's like the government. You mean Keir Starmer? The government thinks, says this, does that. You mean Keir Starmer? So Keir Starmer says one thing, and other people in cabinet go, I don't know about that. I don't necessarily completely agree with that. I don't think that's entirely true. Right, so that is like the first cracks of them turning their back on him entirely. They're supposed to all say exactly the same thing and back each other up all the time. So Ed Miliband was on TV, I think on Sunday, was it? And Yvette Cooper also has come out and said, when they say, like a reporter will say to them, Keir Starmer claims, XYZ, Keir Starmer claims he did nothing wrong and it's all the Foreign Office's fault. And there was nothing wrong with what he did. And someone like Ed Miliband or Yvette Cooper was supposed to go, no, yes, that's completely right. Where's the government are completely in lockstep on that. That's true. That's correct. Yes. And if they go, no, I always thought, like Ed Miliband said, I always has concerns about Mandelson being a US ambassador. Like, oh, that would really, really annoy Starmer and the team around Starmer, that they're not perfectly backing him up. And, they call it dissent. Show dissent. Mm. Or, well, is there... on one of the other articles, it describes him as a dead man walking. Where was it? Give me one second. There you go. In the Express. Labour MPs, Brand Starmer, dead man walking. We got a dead man walking here. Green Mile. You seen the Green Mile, Harry?
I haven't, no. Oh.
It's a good movie. Yeah, it's a great movie. Okay, he's a dead man walking politically. Politically. As Number 10's toxic culture is exposed. So, everyone's now saying, not everyone, a lot of people are saying that we'll wait till Labour get trounced on May the 7th. And then all the knives will come out. They'll all stab him in the back all at once. I can't see how he's not going to get some sort of internal coup or a full-blown parliamentary vote of no confidence and sort of be forced to leave. It happens, doesn't it? It always happens. Happens to Ted Heath, happens to Thatcher, Blair, right? Cameron walked away, but Theresa May, Boris, and I suspect he's going to be forced to leave after those local elections. All right, we haven't even talked about the exact detail of what Ollie Robbins said yet, have we? Mandelson vetting crisis. SAC chief says constant pressure over Mandy US job. PM faces yet more fallout, but says he is focused on war. Right. Meanwhile, Rayner calls for bold action on living cost rises. She's teeing herself up. She wants to be the Prime Minister, doesn't she? Angela the Fridge Rayner. I mean, you know, what on earth? What on earth? Angela Rayner, what an about true sort of exercise in humiliation. I mean, Rishi was a humiliation to me. Rishi was an embarrassment. Rishi's like some 14-year-old SWAT, like hall monitor, oily little loser weirdo, right? Keir Starmer, like some insane robot, some insane robot, half man, half machine, more machine than man. But Angela Rayner's like David Lammy or Lisa Nandy. She's really, really dumb. You know, like, say what you like about someone like Gordon Brown, right? Gordon Brown was a complete and utter charisma vacuum. Could he have been more dour? Could he have been, John Major was famously like the grey man, wasn't he? He's a spitting image puppet. He was like this grey bureaucrat nerd. But you can't say that John Major's really, really dumb, can you? You can't say Gordon Brown was really, really dumb. I probably wouldn't say Rishi is particularly dumb. I mean, he's not like the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he's not like terribly dumb. Like within hearing him speak for 20, 30, 40 seconds, you're like, oh, this is a stupid person. Oh, this is like a properly low IQ person. Angela Rayner is like that. You've all heard her speak, right? You've seen her in interviews and stuff. She's a dummy. I would love to see her sort of quizzed and grilled properly over what she knows about sort of political philosophy or political economy or just everything. Like when you saw David Lammy go on Celebrity Mastermind, just general knowledge. I'd love to see Angela Rayner do just a medium difficulty general knowledge quiz. I suspect she's one of those people like Lammy, doesn't really know anything. Doesn't know anything. It's just, anyway, if I had to, at the moment, it looks like she's probably being teed up to be the next Prime Minister. Rayner. Angela Know-Nothing Rayner. And she's a cheat as well, right? She's a cheat. She tried to cheat on various things, paying a certain thing. Was it a stamp duty, something or other, on one of her properties? Like didn't she take the NHS to court and sue the NHS? It's a scumbag move, isn't it? All right, I just see Big Harry there's outside. All right, mate, how you doing? People started trickling in for the morning, 8:15. Okay. Still haven't talked about largely what Ollie Robbins actually said. So let's get into that now. The Mirror goes with Eye of the Storm. Storm. Get it? It's clever, isn't it? Very, very, very clever wordplay. Eye of the Storm. Okay, the eye paper. Let's read the blurb on the eye paper because it's about the best you get from Fleet Street. And we'll talk about what he actually said. Right. Wounded Starmer given public dressing down by his cabinet. Sacked Foreign Office chief gets his revenge during interrogation by MPs. Largely led by, the chair of it is Emily Thornberry. She's gross, isn't she? Emily Thornberry. Absolutely revolting. All right, the blurb says, Number 10, according to Ollie Robbins, Number 10 put department under, quote, constant pressure to approve security vetting of Peter Mandelson as Washington ambassador, despite the risks, so Ollie Robbins tells Parliament in riposte to PM. In fact, the Number 10 has already come out just on Twitter, or a formal statement anyway, that appeared on Twitter, in riposte to his riposte, parry and riposte, between Sir Ollie and Number 10. So, okay, he said, one of the main things he said, that Number 10 and Starmer put him under constant pressure. There was this sort of atmosphere of just constantly chasing. Just get it done. Just finish up the vetting on Mandelson. Just get. We need it yesterday. You know, that sort of thing, when a boss does that. Okay. And now that's a little bit at odds, isn't it, with what Starmer's story? He didn't say anything like that. Little bit odd. Plus, we know, don't we, that he gave Mandelson the job, announced it to the world, before the vetting was finished. Before even Ollie Robbins was actually in the job. Okay. That is not, it's just simply not acceptable, is it, to give someone a super, super sensitive job that gets access to, like, the highest intelligence clearance, basically, who hasn't done their vetting. One argument could be, I've seen people from the Starmer camp just make the argument almost as an aside, just say, oh, by the way, what about this? The idea that Mandelson had been in cabinet for years, on and off, 4 years. He'd been a privy councillor, you know, sort of the supposedly the inner sanctum of power, the Privy Council. He was a lord. He was already a peer, right? So does he really need vetting? Has he not already been vetted enough to already hold all those things. Well, no. It's a completely different thing. Like MI6, full MI6 vetting to get the most sensitive information that goes between Washington and London. Again, the ambassador, MI6, the Foreign Office. It could be spy stuff. Right? It could well be actual sort of military-grade intelligence, MI6 military intelligence, between London and Washington. It could be the most sensitive stuff being passed from our intelligence services over to the NSA or the CIA or whatever. So, yeah, he's going to need the full-blown vetting, the full highest level of vetting. It's not finished, but they give him the job anyway. Mm. And then after the fact, also keep piling on more pressure to just, like, scrap the vetting because we've already announced it or something. Or just give it the green light. Just give it the yes tick because we've already announced him. Just do that. Again, that's all at odds, isn't it, with what Starmer was saying. The blurb goes on. Ex-Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner tells Starmer he must, quote, take bold action, quote, to restore faith in Labour. She's just teared herself up, isn't she? She knows, most people know now, Starmer's time is limited. He's a dead man walking. We've got a dead man walking here. She's just teared herself up. Bold action. Yeah, she's going to be this great bold leader. Leader of men. She wears stupid shoes that would be embarrassing for a 12-year-old to wear. She's a moron. Oh, Angela Rayner, give me a break. All right. Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper, current Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper, quote, extremely concerned, quote, that number 10 tried to find ambassador job for Starmer's spin doctor. That's that Matthew Doyle. With, quote, strict instruction, quote, not to tell her predecessor. It's in Cabinet Trust. Was it David Lammy? Strict instructions, don't tell David Lammy. A little bit odd, isn't it? Starmer doing stuff behind the back of his, not just cabinet colleagues, but really, really senior ones. You know, the heart of government is really the Prime Minister, and then the Home Secretary, the Foreign Secretary, and the Chancellor. It's basically, they're the most powerful ones by far, basically. If the Prime Minister's trying to do stuff to behind the back of, say, the Foreign Secretary, pulling strings, don't let the Foreign Secretary know what we're doing. What? You're supposed to be, you've kind of got to be all on the same page, pulling together as one. Don't tell the Home Secretary I'm trying to do this. It's pathetic, really pathetic. Okay, PM's former Chief of Staff, Morgan McSweeney, and Peter Mandelson's protege, who was forced to quit over the scandal, denies ordering Foreign Office to, quote, just effing approve it, quote, but may now be called to give evidence to MPs. So that was one of the things that Ollie Robbins said. Apparently at some point, a political appointee, Morgan McSweeney, came to him, the Foreign Office, and said, just effing approve it. Like he's Malcolm Tucker. He's some sort of badass. Just do it. What? Don't worry about the military-grade intelligence that might be spilt. Might just be emailed straight to someone like Jeffrey Epstein. Well, Jeffrey Epstein was dead, but, you know. The Russians, the Chinese. That's a whole angle as well. Manson's compromise could have been, it's alleged that he may have been compromised by the Russians and the Chinese through his business dealings. And that company he had, it was like an advisory lobbying company. He took loads of money from the Russians and the Chinese, particularly the Chinese. Don't worry about that MI6 hasn't finished the vetting, or that they have completed the vetting and he hadn't passed it. Don't worry about that, according to Morgan McSweeney. Just, quote, just effing approve it. Weird. Why did Morgan McSweeney and Keir Starmer and a cabal of people at number 10, why were they so insistent on getting Mandy that job? Was it just to pay him back for being such a big beast in the Labour Party, being such a grandee, for all his years of service to the Labour Party? Was it just that? There's something else going on entirely. Other people pulling their strings, people way above their pay grade. People that run Mandelson, basically, and or Jeffrey Epstein. And by proxy, what? The government. Keir Starmer and Morgan McSweeney. Whoever they are. Why? Why? You know, this is the crux of it all. Why? You know, a lot of it is window dressing, really. Ollie Robbins did or didn't do something or other, and Keir Starmer says something slightly different about what Ollie Robbins did or didn't do. So window dressing. The key, the salient thing here is why were they so insistent on getting Mandelson that job and putting him in place before vetting was completed and all that sort of thing? Why? Who did they owe a favour to? In whose interest was that really? Really? It's obviously not in the interest of the Foreign Office or the government, number 10. Certainly not in their interest now, because it's all blown up in the face and may even cause the collapse of this government. It wasn't in their interest then, really, was it? Oh, we need Mandy. I remember David Lammy's little statement in the lobby. How great it is. It's so great that he's the right man for the job. He's the perfect man for the job. He's such an amazing political operator, Peter Mandelson. But we're lucky to sort of have him in that role. What a boon it is for US-UK relations. What a boon it is for this country and this government to have such a master, such a genius in that role. Why? Why were they like that? Why were they saying that? Why were they so insistent on it? Why do they... It looks like they're still lying about it to this day. Why? Who's really puppeteering a lot of the stuff behind the scenes here, really? People like Nathaniel Rothschild, people like Les Wexner, people like Ehud Barak. Don't know. Mandy. Who really runs Mandy? Who handles Mandy? I highly doubt Mandy's the top of the tree. He's the puppet master. Doubt it. Highly doubt it. Okay. Rayner privately warned PM against appointment. Did she? Kept quiet about that. Funny, isn't it? Miliband always had concerns. Lammy always had concerns. Yvette Cooper always had concerns. Rayner privately warned PM against appointment. Really? Yeah. All right. If you say so. Difficult to believe, to be perfectly honest. Miliband and Lammy feared it could blow up. Yeah, right. David Lammy doesn't know his arse from his elbow, does he? Well, probably shouldn't even say that word on the morning show. It's supposed to be clean, isn't it? Lammy doesn't know what he's doing, does he? Really doesn't. He's truly, truly an idiot. He doesn't, you know, just people point him in the right direction. He'll walk towards the camera and just start talking about reparations and slavery. What now? What next? I'll go to this meeting now and sit down and have a serious face on and nod a bit. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like he knew what was really going on. He always feared it would blow up. No, yeah, don't believe it. Don't buy that for 1 second. Look into what people have given David Lammy in money terms. All the people that have donated money directly to David Lammy personally. Who are they? Who are they? Cabinet ministers are quietly distancing themselves from PM as number 10 insists process was followed. Okay, so yeah, there's a number of things. Number more things. He said that, Sir Ollie Robbins said that number 10 wanted there to be no vetting. If they had their way, there would have been no vetting whatsoever for Mandelson. When someone asked him in the committee, do you regret anything? Quite funny, he said, I paraphrase, he basically said, I regret that Keir Starmer's got a terrible sense of judgment. In other words, he's saying, I don't regret anything. I really don't think I did anything wrong. I got into the post after it was already announced, and then at that point I just had tons and tons of pressure on me, tons, to just green light it. So I did. That's basically my job to do that in the end. Ultimately, I'm just supposed to be the servant of the government, the civil servant. So I'm supposed to do, really. So in the end, I did. I don't even really understand exactly why I've been fired. It's entirely unfair. Yeah, so there's what his story, his narrative is quite divergent from Starmer's narrative. There you go. All right, so that's the main thing. I think we've talked about enough this morning. I'd rather talk a bit about Trump and Iran, to be perfectly honest. Quickly whip through some more of the headlines. The pressure on Robbins from number 10. Pressure on Robbins from number 10. The Sun. Just say, yes, Prime Minister. There's the Princess of Wales looking radiant, as always. Anyone doesn't know, there's a great 70s show called Yes, Minister. And then season 2 was Yes, Prime Minister. And that'll be a reference to that. Yes, Prime Minister. They're great shows, by the way. Really great shows. To this day, they give you a satirical and accurate insight into the relationship between government and Whitehall. To this day. They're worth watching. If you want to know how sausages are made in Great Britain, political sausages. If you want to know how government works, of course it's a comedy. It's a comedy show, but... Yes, Minister, and to a lesser extent, yes, Prime Minister. Absolutely worth watching. Very, very good. Okay. The Star, look, on the front page. Just effing approve it. Yeah, all right. Is that the British Museum? That looks like the British Museum to me. It's a queer starling at the British Museum yesterday. If that is what that is. Looks like it. Okay, The Express. It's a good paper. Slightly different story here. Just mention it real quick. This guy worked for Morrison's for years and years and years and years. He always did his job well. Tried to tackle a violent shoplifter, and he got fired for it. Morrison's urged to reverse sacking of loyal boss for tackling a violent shoplifter. Hero manager Sean must get his job back. Poor old Sean. Pray for Sean. I say that sarcastically. I don't really mean it sarcastically. Yeah, what a travesty it is that you try and do your job, you try and confront a criminal, and you get fired for it. Crazy. Horrible, isn't it? And the guy, apparently, the shoplifter, wasn't just like some random 14-year-old trying to steal a Twix for the first time ever. No, he was like a career criminal guy, just a complete serial shoplifter. A one-man crime wave or something, one of the other papers talk about him. And violent as well. And poor old Sean gets thrown under the bus. What an injustice. All right, let's talk a little bit about Iran. And Mr. Trump, the ceasefire. Trump's given Iran more time. He had a ceasefire that was supposed to run out around now, is it? Around now it's supposed to run out, and he's just given them more time. So look, Trump extends ceasefire with Iran after collapse of peace talks. So there was supposed to be some sort of peace talks in Pakistan, in Islamabad, and then the Iranians basically said, we're just not even going to send a delegation to that. Not interested in that. And so the United States didn't send one either. Looks like they were going to send Witkoff and Kushner and maybe J.D. Vance. Perhaps not J.D. Vance, but anyway. And they ended up not sending one either because the Iranians made it perfectly clear they weren't going to. So there was no talks. Okay. So now, as I said yesterday, remember, try not to accuse me too quickly of suffering from TDS. I am an Anglo-American. Broadly speaking, I'm on board with the Americans and despise Islamic theocracies. So none of this is trying to run defense for or stand for the Iranians. However, the ball was at that point now in Trump's court. He said four or five times now he's going to blow up all their bridges and power stations. And Iran just basically folded their arms, dead-eyed. Well, do it then. Do it then. And Trump was like, I'll give you more time. In fact, he's extended it indefinitely. Again. Trying not to suffer from TDSU. That's the thing. Whenever you criticise Israel or the United States or Trump at all, you've got TDS. If you don't do it enough, you're like a Zio or something. No, I'm just calling it how I see it. I've got to call it how I see it. Iran didn't blink and Trump did blink a bit. There you go. On Truth Social, last night, it was close to bridge and power plant day. Hours, just a few hours away, again, from bridge and power plant day. The Iranians are like, do it. Do it. Trump goes on Truth Social. Statement of President Donald J. Trump. Based on the fact that the government of Iran is seriously fractured, not unexpectedly so, and upon the request of Field Marshal Azim Munir and Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif of Pakistan, we have been asked to hold our attack on the country of Iran until such time as their leaders and representatives can come up with a unified proposal. Okay. I have therefore directed our military to continue the blockade and in all other respects remain ready and able, and will therefore extend the ceasefire until such time as their proposal is submitted. Indefinitely then. And discussions are concluded one way or the other. President Donald J. Trump. It's edging towards taco time. Taco, taco. I mean, saying he's chickened out is a bit much. Right. That is. He's not really chickened out. He's not chickening out. But. You can't keep threatening to do something. And when the other person doesn't budge, you then don't. I mean, you can. But no, quite soon, no one's going to believe you anymore. I get it. Trump doesn't want to do it because he's not a psycho, right? He's not an actual Stalin. He's not an actual Genghis Khan. He doesn't want to do it. But if you threatened it, though, and then a few hours after that, he tweeted again, "We'll blow up your whole country if you don't come to terms with us." Ugh. Yeah. After that, let's have a quick look. This also here somewhere, isn't it? Oh, anyway, I can't find it. But yeah, just a few hours after that, he's back on Truth Social saying, "We're going to blow up everything that's left in your country if you don't come to terms, come do a deal with us." I mean, how many times can you do that? This is like the fourth or fifth. Well, this will now be, I think, the sixth time of going through that, giving you a deadline, threatening to blow you up if you don't do something by the deadline. You get to the deadline and just don't do it. I mean, okay. I mean, the Iranians, whether it's because they actually can't come to some sort of deal, whether their leadership is so fractured and destroyed. That may well be the case, in fact. It may well be the case that they haven't got a single unified leadership at the moment. Or even, it could be the case, this could all just be American, US, Israeli propaganda, PSYOP stuff, but it might not be, that the Iranians are actually right now going through a power struggle. That there's a power struggle in Iran between sort of military leaders and like the political religious leaders. Who is actually pulling all the strings? Is there any one single person controlling all policy in Iran? It may well be the case that there isn't. So they sort of can't really go to somewhere like Islamabad and just make a deal with the United States because they can't. They can't. That's sort of what happened, it seems, doesn't it? An element of that, I think, was going on last time they were in Islamabad, what, a week or two ago with J.D. Vance, where they would talk about things and then they, the Iranian side would say, we need to go back to Iran and sort of get permission from whoever to before we can agree to stuff. It speaks of that their leadership is like completely broken and fractured, and there isn't really one person. It's the Ayatollah, Khomeini the second, still hasn't been seen. So he's either dead or terribly, terribly wounded, isn't he? Otherwise, he would have been seen by now, surely. So it's all a bit of a mess, really, isn't it? I mean, in short, everything that's going on in Iran and the blockade and whether Trump's going to go ape, pull the trigger, let Hegseth and the chief of staff, go berserk in the Persian Gulf, blowing up anything and everything. All of that, it's all a bit of a mess. Meanwhile, the oil price isn't that crazy. Let's have a quick look at the oil price in real time. West Texas, $88 a barrel. Brent, just under $197 a barrel. West Texas, $88 a barrel. So only about $10 more than when this war started. Reds, it's going down as well at this moment in time. I mean, it's very, very volatile. Literally any second that could click up into the green and, but, you know. The price of crude isn't, still, it's not insane. It's annoying, really annoying, isn't it, that the price of petrol and diesel at the pump is so high. Okay, that's what's going on with Iran. Look, Trump says he will extend Iran's ceasefire until negotiations conclude. But Iran aren't sending a delegation to do any negotiations at this point, anyway. What negotiations? When will they? How could they possibly ever conclude? Iran have made it perfectly clear they're not going to give up their uranium enrichment program. They're just not going to. So you've completely blinked. You just... There's one article I read. I probably won't be able to find it. But it was... Last night, Trump... There was an article, I think it was in the... It was either in the Washington Post or... Oh, it was in the Wall Street Journal. Right? Apparently, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that said Iranians are playing Trump for a sucker. That was the word. Right? The taco thing that Trump always chickens out. Someone in the Wall Street Journal wrote an article saying that Trump chickened out. The Iranians think he's a sucker. We're an embarrassment, right? And Trump tweeted about that, or Truth Social'd about that, having a pop at that one individual journalist for writing that. Going, yeah, right. They're the suckers. I'm not a sucker. They are. I destroyed their air force and their navy. What have they done? I'm winning. We're winning. Please, be above that sort of thing a bit. Like, even normal people, right? I'm just a completely normal person. On Twitter, I've got something like 30,000 followers. No big deal, right? Even if you had 300,000 on Twitter, you're not really anything big, are you? But like, even I... You have to stand above things from time to time. You get some troll, get someone in the comments or whatever, just being completely unreasonable dick, just having a pop at you. And even at that level, you've got to pick and choose your fights and ignore people and block them and don't engage with people just trying to dig at you, mostly. And that's just basically a nobody with 30,000 followers. If you're the president of the United States... And you're picking like a fight with an individual columnist that called you a sucker once. I don't know. I would hope that Donald would be above such things. He obviously isn't. I mean, if we don't know Trump by now, that's what he's like, isn't he? He will pick individual fights with people because he got his feelings hurt a little bit over something or other. But okay, so. Trump was going to blow up all their bridges and power stations and now isn't. And now it's just an indefinite ceasefire. Oh, it's an off-ramp, isn't it? It's an off-ramp. It moves away from a forever war, doesn't it? moves away from a 2003 Iraq style quagmire, English quagmire, doesn't it? Let's do that. Maybe we won't get an outing from the 82nd Airborne and the US Marine Corps after all. All right. Let's see, what else have we got? Oh, should we just watch this little clip? A little clip here, like 2 minutes, just shy of 3 minutes. Let's watch this. Harry, can you make sure this comes through on the stream?
It was clear just from the number of vehicles crowding the White House car park, a high-level meeting was taking place. A brief glimpse of Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, a further clue that talks with Iran were not proceeding as planned. And here you can just make out Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, all the president's men here, not in Pakistan, where they were supposed to be negotiating with Iran. The Marine outside the Oval Office, a clue its incumbent was present. And then tonight, a social media post giving more clarity. Donald Trump confirming he would extend the ceasefire until such time as their proposal is submitted and discussions are concluded one way or the other. It echoed a conversation I had with him on the phone this morning when he said he was confident a deal would be done. He told me, "We're going to see. You'll know over the next short period of time. We're in very good shape. We'll get it one way or the other. Everything is going to work out very well, one way or the other. It makes no difference."
President Trump, welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning.
After my conversation with him, he went on the...
Okay, you get it. All right, then. Let's move on to a couple of other... Oh, should we do... before I move on to something else, should we do our poll? What did we say in our poll today? Harry, can you bring it up for us? Okay, what did we say in our poll? We said... We asked you, has Trump chickened out? okay. 850 odd votes, something in that ballpark. Very split. Yes, 45% of you say yes, he has. 45%. In fact, that's a win. The ayes have it. No, 28%, maybe 26%. So it's very split. Personally, I would say no. Personally, I would still give him the benefit of the doubt, like a chickening out, actually losing your nerve. I'd say no. But it's difficult, isn't it? It's not straightforward. I would give him the benefit of the doubt, and like, he wants to try and give Iran every possible opportunity to not get its power stations and bridges blown up. I'm still prepared to give Trump the benefit of the doubt on that for a while, for a little bit longer. But maybe I'm wrong. I would accept if I'm wrong on that. That's not a firm opinion that I'll stand by a hill I'll die on, because I could well be wrong, you know. Okay, 45% of you say yeah, he's chickened out. 28% say no. 26% say maybe. All right. Quite split opinion then, really, isn't it? I think characterising it like Trump always chickens out, or has Trump chickened out, it's just really low resolution, isn't it? It's like, it's not really a case of chickening out or not, but, I mean, we made the poll, so... Anyway, you get it. It's interesting to see when you've come this far in a thing. So it's not like Trump is a chicken, is it? He's not. It's not like he's afraid to do stuff, right? He did this war at the beginning. It's not like he's afraid. Like he's a chicken. He's not. There's all sorts of politics going on, aren't there? A million and one moving parts in all this thing, in all of this. All right, speaking of which, let's have a quick look at this. This was one of the tankers... Or cargo ships, rather. Not an oil tanker, I don't think. Although it does look like an oil tanker. But anyway, a cargo ship, an Iranian one, in just coming out of the Straits of Hormuz that the US military seized. Look, there's the US military helicopters and Marines. And Trump said that this particular ship may well have had armaments on it. We don't know exactly what armaments. From China, from Xi, from Winnie the Pooh, Xi Jinping. Trump versus Xi. Trump versus 11. She called him Winnie the Pooh 11. Anyway, US storms Iran-linked ship carrying mystery gift from China. That's what Trump called it. Gift from China. As Trump confronts Xi and says he won't extend ceasefire. Well, he has, though. So, okay, it's a slightly update. But, all right. Should we click on this real quick? look, there they are. Look, US personnel taking control of this ship. And that Trump says almost certainly China sent sort of arms. Yeah, that Iran has probably done a little bit of restocking, implying that Beijing has supplied the rogue nation with weapons. Trump added, "I'm sort of surprised because I have a very good relationship and I thought I had an understanding with President Xi. But that's all right. That's the way war goes, right?" He thought he had an understanding with Xi. Your strategic enemies. You're both vying to be hegemon of the world. China and the United States. You might have a reasonably cordial relationship, literally, between you two personally, when you're sitting at a state banquet table and you're nice and polite to each other. Your countries, your nations, your empires are strategic enemies. It's been no doubt. Yeah, it sounds a bit blasé, doesn't it? But it's true. That's the way war goes. Yeah. During the Cold War, the amount of stuff that the United States and the Soviets did against each other by proxy, it was the Cold War, the whole Cold War. The number of times America turns up somewhere or the Soviets turn up somewhere and find that the opposition is completely funded and armed and supported by the other side. Endlessly, all over the world. So the idea that China might be sending weapons or support in various ways, in all sorts of ways, to Iran because America is in a conflict with them, yeah, that's the way war goes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your strategic enemies with China. I was aghast when Biden got in, if anyone remembers this, just briefly to say, when Biden first got in, remember him coming out, his dodgy little walk, his like glass-eyed, watery-eyed look, going, "China aren't the enemy, guys. They're not the enemy." Yeah, yes, they are. Yes, they are. Of course they are. China's not the bad guys. Sure. All right. A couple of other stories before we just move on this day in history. I thought were of mild note. Ollie Robbins, Keir Starmer and Peter Mountain. There you go, there you go. All right. Oh, look, that's $1 million violin. Oops, dropped it. Well, the conductor knocked it out of her hands. £1 million violin. Oh, said the F word there. Sorry. Apologies for that. Can't help myself. Okay. Yeah, this woman, I never watched The X Factor. I was sort of forced to watch a little bit of The X Factor like over 10 years ago. Despised it, every bit of it. I can't stand The X Factor. Any sort of singing contest, any sort of anything like that. Britain's Got Talent. Like, if I was at a Butlins, I wouldn't attend those sort of contests. So why would I put it on my TV? I don't know. Anyway, this psycho was apparently an X Factor finalist. And I don't know if you saw the footage over the weekend. She just ran someone over in the street in London. She's having an argument with some other person in the street. Got in her car, run her over, and then reversed back over her again. Oh, right. Okay. All right. That's not like an absolute psychopathic thing to do. Sure. All right. In Mexico, there was a mass shooting event or only one person died and or two or three people died and a few injured at one of those big pyramids in Mexico, just outside Mexico City. Teotihuacan. Am I pronouncing that right? Almost certainly not. Teotihuacan. Just outside Mexico City, some of those giant pyramids. There was a mass shooting event there. Oh, well, a few people anyway were killed. All right. Oh, a matador got gored in a sensitive place. That's news. This one. Bukele. Bukele for the win. I'm a big fan of El Salvador's President Bukele. He went to war with the gangs in his country and won quite quickly. He just actually used state power and the army. So El Salvador was one of the most dangerous, statistically, one of the most dangerous places in all of Central America, and now it's one of the safest because he's just rounded up loads and loads of members of the MS-13 gang and the other big gang in that country. Thousands and thousands of people. Built a giant, giant prison complex and put them all in there. Now they're going on mass trial. Hundreds of skin-headed members of notorious MS-13 mega gang put on mass trial in El Salvador, charged with 47,000 crimes. Lovely. Lovely stuff. Yes. Yes. Wielding power the way it should be. In both Britain, something like this would happen. I'd build a giant prison complex, and I would be apps that change loads of laws so that the police and even the army and the judiciary can tackle the insane amount of crime we've got in this country. Round them all up. Clear them out of society. Put them away. Do what's in the interest of the innocent people of this country. Let's quickly read some of it. Hundreds of alleged members of a notorious gang faced a mass trial in El Salvador on Monday, charged with thousands of crimes. Defendants are accused of more than 47,000 crimes committed between 2012 and 2022, including an estimated 29,000 murders. They'll do things in El Salvador, like they'll do a roadblock going into a big city, the police, the army, do a roadblock, stop all the cars, get everyone out, make the men, it's nearly always the men, right, make the men take their top off, their t-shirt off. If you've got any MS tattoos, MS-13 tattoos, any at all, you're arrested now. That's it. It's done. You're done. You're arrested just for having a tattoo. We'll look into whether you've actually done any real crimes, probably. We'll try and make sure you've actually done any crimes. But on the strength of a tattoo, you're off the street now until we can prove you're innocent. Yeah, because that's what it required to save that country from a nightmare. A nightmare. El Salvadorian court system said the trial included members of the national leadership, street-level leaders, program coordinators from across the country, and founders of MS-13. The gang's leadership is accused of slaughtering 87 people in a single weekend in March 2022. Absolute insane scumbags. Insane. The killings prompted President Bukele to declare a war on the country's street gangs, which he said controlled 80% of Salvadorian territory. MS-13 is charged with the crime of rebellion, quote, because they sought to establish a parallel state, quote, the Attorney General's office said. Meanwhile, prosecutors said the trial will settle a historic debt. Yes! Justice, real justice. Not the type of social justice that commies talk about, which in fact gets normal people raped and murdered. Not that. Real justice. The fates of the detainees will be decided by anonymous judges following proceedings via video link from prison. Opening the trial, the judge stated that the armed group had disturbed, quote, the peace of the Salvadorian population and the security of the state for decades and would be tried with the full force of the law. State prosecutors said they had ample evidence to request the maximum sentences against the defendants without specifying whether that meant life imprisonment. MS-13 and the rival Barrio 18 gang operate drug trafficking rings and extortion rackets across Central America. Bukele has accused them of murdering 200,000 people over three decades, including about 80,000 who disappeared without trace. The president imposed a state emergency in 2022, which has been used to arrest more than 91,000 suspected gang members, including thousands of people who were later declared innocent. The campaign, which has seen Bukele's popularity rating surge, yeah, of course, because it's brilliant. Because that's brilliant to go to war with murderous scum. Yes. Yes. Just give me a chance, coach. Just give me a chance to go to war with murderous scum. I love it. The campaign, which has seen Bukele's popularity rating surge, has resulted in a dramatic drop in crime. In just a few years, El Salvador has transformed from one of Latin America's most dangerous countries to one of its safest. Brilliant. What's not to like about that? Anyone who's sane must surely get behind that and love it. Oh no, 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 human rights groups don't like it. Look, but the crackdown has drawn sharp criticism from human rights groups. Yeah, you get it? You get it? It's MS-13 and Barrio 18's human right to go around murdering people. Is it? Sharp criticism from human rights groups denouncing a lack of due process for detainees. Reports of torture and more than 500 deaths in prison. And there you go. They do 200,000 murders, including 80,000 that disappeared, including massacres where 80 or 90 people might die in one day or one weekend. And you crack down on that and do something about it and stop it happening, human rights lawyers will call you evil. Will say you've done something wrong. Human rights lawyers. All right, you get it. Most people watching the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. You'll know. You'll understand. I'm preaching to the choir here, aren't I? Spread it around. Let the wishy-washy liberals who talk about human rights, let them know that that has been perverted in the favour of monsters. That monsters will hide behind human rights. Quote unquote human rights. To continue doing the worst things humans can do to each other. The concept of human rights. Once, perhaps once upon a time, a noble and righteous concept. Now completely perverted in order to facilitate murderers and rapists and gangsters. Yeah. All right. Shall we have a look at something else entirely? And now for something completely different. Have a look at what happened on this day in history, down through the centuries, on this day, the 22nd of April. What happened of note? Shall we have a look? You guys like this section. I like this section. What have we got here? The Portuguese discover Brazil. Pedro Alvarez Cabral is the first European to discover Brazil, landing near Monte Pascoal and claiming it for Portugal, the Kingdom of Portugal. Harry, are you there? Yeah? Oh, sorry, there you go. Sorry. I took Mark from the ball there. Do you reckon on Epochs, my history theme show behind the paywall on LotusEaters.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership? Do you think I talk all about the Age of Discovery and how the Portuguese and Spanish discovered and claimed lots of parts of the New World? Magellan's voyage around the world not long after that. Oh yeah, hours and hours and hours and hours of me talking about that. Check it out. £5 a month bronze tier membership, it's a good deal. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of content behind that paywall, not just me talking about history. But Dan talk about economics, Fraz talk about global geopolitics. Stelios talking about philosophy. It's an actual Athenian philosopher, PhD level. It's all there. £5 a month. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. Old content with Josh, talking about contemplations, all sorts of different things. All right. On this day, in 1915, the first military use of poison gas occurs when Germany uses chlorine gas against the Allies along the Western Front at Ypres in France in World War One. The English sometimes called it wipers. I think it's pronounced Right, 1915, so that's the first Battle of Ypres, wouldn't it be? The third Battle of Ypres. That's the big one, that's the terrible one. Anyway. Yeah, the Germans first used gas. You said it was so deplorable, you can't do that, that's an insane thing. But we'll start doing it now. But we're going to do it now. In fact, quite often, very often, the wind blows from west to east across Belgium and northern France. So it's actually easier for the Allies to use poison gas against them. Because the wind just takes it. It's no more sophisticated than that. You just make sure the wind is blowing in the right direction when you release it. And the wind just takes it over the enemy trenches. So, yeah, and the Germans, probably not all that wise to have sort of started doing that, but yeah, poison gas. The accounts of the accounts of gas attacks. About a week ago, I re-listened to the audiobook of Storm of Steel, Ernst Jünger. An amazing book, an amazing account. How he survived World War One is mad. Like injured like 15 times. Anyway, the accounts, various accounts, you know, from Owen Wilson on down, of gas attacks in World War One, truly horrific. Okay, on this day, 1993, Holocaust Memorial Museum, dedicated in Washington, D.C., was it? In 1994, 7,000 Tutsis are slaughtered by Hutus in the stadium at Kibuli. I think that's how you pronounce that. Kibuli? In Rwanda. Yeah, we talked a little bit, haven't we, before? I think I've talked a little bit about the Rwandan genocide quite a few years ago. 15, maybe more years ago, I decided I needed to know everything about that. Looked into it, read all about it, watched a whole bunch of documentaries. Yeah. The Hutus have been oppressed by the Tutsis for a long time, and not that that justifies any of this whatsoever, but in the end, went berserk and did massacre as many Tutsis as they possibly could. Failing killing them, just chop their hands off. Just chop all their fingers off. Hutus are sort of a bit more squat, a bit shorter. And Tutsis are a bit taller, got sort of like longer hair, longer limbs. Like they're different ethnically. There's loads and loads of different ethnicities in sub-Saharan Africa, if you didn't know. Loads, dozens and dozens and dozens. The Hutus and the Tutsis are ethnically different. The Tutsis are sort of taller, got longer fingers. Often the Hutus would just chop all their fingers off. I mean, it's an insane thing that happened there. Insane. Okay. On this day, in 2006, the Nepalese security forces opened fire on pro-democracy protesters demonstrating against King Gyanendra, probably mispronouncing that, injuring hundreds. The protests secure the restoration of parliament and a federal state. It's interesting, Nepal. If only considering it's such a mountainous country, relatively low population density, you know, particularly in comparison to India and China. Nepal is basically the Himalayas, isn't it, Nepal? The amount of political unrest they have is a little bit surprising to me, All right, okay. On this day in 2016, the Paris Agreement on Climate Change is signed in New York, binding 195 nations to limit the increase of the global average temperature to less than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels and to pursue efforts to limit the increase to 1.5 degrees. We don't control the temperature of the Earth. How about that? Humans are not capable of controlling the temperature of the Earth. That's dictated by forces far outside our ability. Yeah? Isn't that true? Isn't that the reality? That there are cycles going on far bigger, longer than our civilization. That the sun dictates weather patterns on Earth far more than anything we could do. Far more. But you buy the lie that man-made CO2, something in the order of 400 parts per million, that drives climate change up or down, and that we control that, therefore we control if the Earth's average temperature goes up or down. We don't. No, we're just along for the ride. We're probably in an interglacial period. If anything, over geological time spans, thousands, tens of thousands of years, we're in between ice ages, probably. Oh, but we need to rework everything, our entire economy, everything we do, so that it can stay within a very, very small band. Insane to me. It's sort of all insane to me. The hubris of it, to think that we control the average global temperature. We can control it. We can tweak things here and there and make it go up or down. No, it's way outside our ability to control that. That's my opinion. I think that's the case. I think that's what it is. All right. All right, that's it. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me just do that with my mic, so I can have a look at the Rumble Rants. Okay, Global Church History in at number one. Oh, yesterday I said he wasn't in at number one. But there was some, after the show, I was told there's some sort of technical problem or glitch or something or other that meant his Rumble Rant didn't come up on my screen somehow. But in fact, he had done. Oh, in fact, yeah, Harry's bringing it up. Somehow it didn't show up yesterday, but Harry's got it here. So from yesterday, Global Church History said, on this day in 1509, Henry VIII became king. Yeah, so his elder brother Arthur died. Henry should never have been king. He had an older brother. He died of natural causes. Okay. In 1519, Hernan Cortes landed in Veracruz. And so Cortes, famous. Have I done content all about Cortes? Have I? On History Bro somewhere? I've certainly talked about it in passing if I haven't done a whole thing. Yeah, his showdown with Montezuma and everything. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And in 1594, an earthquake completely obliterated San Salvador. Okay, I don't know about that one. Interesting, though. Okay. Okay. Harry, can you get that off the screen so I can see the other ones now? That was Global Church History from yesterday. This morning, in at number one, reigning, defending, undisputed. Global Church History said, today in 404 BC... Athens surrenders to Lysander. The Spartan king Lysander. So that will be the end of the Peloponnesian War, where Athens and Sparta went to war with each other over about 25, 30 years. Big hiatus in the middle. And then Alcibiades kicks it off again. Ultimately, in the end, Sparta win. You think I've got loads of content about the Peloponnesian War, about Alcibiades? Yeah. On my own channel, History Bro, really early on, among my first videos, I've got, is it five hours of me chatting to Carl about the Peloponnesian War, going through Thucydides, the ancient Greek historian who wrote about it, Thucydides. 4 or 5 odd hours of me chatting all about that on History Bro. If you want to hear me and Carl talk for quite literally hours on end about when Athens and Sparta had their monumental showdown 400 years before Christ, it's there, History Bro. Check it out. All right, Global Church History also says, and in 1724, Immanuel Kant was born. Oh, okay, all right, interesting. Not a giant fan of Kant's philosophy, to be honest. But there's no time to go into that here. Really no time. It's the type of thing to even scratch the surface takes a few minutes. So, okay. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate. Morning. The new F1 rule tweaks seem decent. Yeah, apparently they have tweaked how much electrical energy you get, particularly in qualifying, haven't they? I hate watching Starmer slink around like he's haunting number 10. He should just go already. We got a restore counselor down here now, which is great. Oh, okay. But one flipped over to restore, did they? Because we haven't had the elections yet. Did one just flip? Okay. Interesting. Cool. Okay. TomRat247 says, prediction. All of this eagerness to get Mandy into power and Epstein will be linked to a, quote, Davos network, which it will transpire Starmer was auditioning for. £10 Rumble rant by D, if I'm wrong. Or by Deck. £10 Rumble rant by December, if I'm wrong. Okay, interesting. Could well be. I mean, what you said there, yeah, a Davos network, and Starmer just wanted to be on the inside of that. It could be. What you've described there is absolutely not beyond the realms of possibility. Wouldn't be surprised. Davos Network. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, can we, Harry, you need to bring up the YouTube Super Chats for me. Let's have a look at those today. What have we got? Oh, only a few today. Let's quickly do them then, because I've got to record an Epochs this morning. And I'm on the podcast day. I'm on the main podcast this afternoon. So I've got a full day today, a full docket. All right. Lone Wolf and Cub, 668, says, going to closely report on Keir's rent boy trial. Yeah, I can't wait for that. I think that will be very, very interesting. I hope a lot comes out in open court. What exactly that was all about. Who are they really, and what was their motivation for all of that? Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, when it comes out, and it's quite soon, I think. I think the trial starts in a week or two or three at most. I can't remember, but relatively soon. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be reporting on that. Yeah, yeah. Try and stop me. Unless at the last minute they do like a media blackout, or the defendants suddenly plead guilty, and so there's no real open cross-examination, and it just moves almost immediately to being sentenced. But even if that happens, which would be very, very disappointing, but even if that happens, I mean, that would speak volumes, wouldn't it? But at the moment, I believe they've pleaded innocent. So there should be some sort of cross-examination stuff. But yeah, I'll be reporting on it for sure. All right, Opening Doors 1 says, a full tank of fuel is now worth more than my car. No, it is getting expensive, though, isn't it? It's getting expensive. Opening Doors 1 again says, Bo, fish and chips, ever visited Scunthorpe? Have I been to Scunthorpe? I'm not sure if I've ever been to Scunny. Have I? I'm not sure. I don't really recall it very well. I might have done when I was much younger or a child. But I love fish and chips. Depending. Some fish and chips are much more delicious than others. But yeah. If the batter's nice, the chips are done right. Bit of salt and vinegar, lovely. Okay, and the last one this morning, just a few super chats this morning. Little Tesla 9733 says, when's the next Lotus Eaters gig? Big Bo show. I don't know. We haven't got... thanks for the super chat. I don't know exactly when the next one is. The last one was basically, kind of undeniably, a success. So we're going to do more. Last I heard was that we plan to do something in the order of maybe, don't quote me on this, but maybe like two or three a year, something like that. So maybe one every 4 months, maybe every 6 months, something like that. We've only just done one, so next one won't be for at least I would have thought a few months. But we're definitely going to, if all goes to plan, if people don't like get hit by a bus or whatever, we should be doing more. We will be doing more, hopefully. All right, that's it. That's the show. It's now 17 minutes past 9 in the AM British summertime on Wednesday, the 22nd of April in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. It really isn't a thing. So thank you. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. There's nothing more valuable than your time. You can never get it back. It's finite, and you can never get it back again. You haven't got endless days. Try and do something valuable with your time, if you can. All right, until tomorrow morning. Take care.